Well, turning your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. As we continue our study of the doctrines of grace, the souls of the Reformation, we've gone a long way on grace. For good reason. I think this will be the last one, though. We want to talk about the blessings of saving grace and the several benefits which believers receive from God through Christ and salvation, and that are increased as we grow and grow in the knowledge of Christ through His Word. You know, there are many material blessings that we enjoy in this life by God's providence. We enjoy family, friends, we enjoy sports, we enjoy good food, we enjoy a great number of things. And that's important because it brings us happiness, right? They're all real and tangible blessings that we enjoy in life, and of course, because they do bring us happiness. But in a similar way, there are real spiritual blessings that we enjoy and experience in Christ by the grace of God. They are the fruits of saving faith, the work of the Holy Spirit in us that God gives to all believers who are redeemed by His grace. We have peace with God. We have communion and access into His presence, joy in the Spirit, deliverance from sin, patience in trials, the assurance of God's love and favor, as well as the hope and promise of eternal life. These are all very important spiritual blessings that we receive by God's grace, that Christ has purchased for us by His saving work on the cross. And the more that we grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, the more we experience the blessing of them. The more we experience happiness, blessedness. Because Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again for us that we might be blessed. That we might be enriched by His grace in order to live for His glory. Live for the kingdom of God. And these are all real spiritual blessings that we enjoy freely by His grace. But that are increased as we grow. Right? As we grow in Christ. We grow in the knowledge of His Word. The more we grow in Christ, and the more we will be made to enjoy the benefit of them, the happiness of them in the presence of God. The Apostle Paul, therefore, here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, to encourage believers in their faith, sets before us a list of the several blessings that we enjoy through Christ by the grace of God, and which are the fruits of justifying faith. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we now rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying here that there are real spiritual blessings to knowing the grace of God in truth and being justified by faith. There are real spiritual blessings that other unbelievers do not experience. Why? Because they try to be justified by their works. They don't know the grace of God. Right? They don't know the redeeming grace of God that we do. These are real blessings. More important than family, friends, sports, good food, and the other common blessings. This is what sanctifies our lives and brings glory to God. And they are increased, right? As soon as we come to faith in Christ, we have them. But they're increased. And the happiness and the blessing of them grow. You know, in Christ we have an abundance. But the more we apply ourselves to the Word of God, the means of grace, the daily reading of Scripture, the prayer and confession, and the profitable use of the Lord's Supper, the more we'll increase in these several blessings. The Shorter Catechism says it well. It says, the benefits which in this life do accompany and flow from Christ in justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end. God has promised to us in His covenant by His grace blessings. Blessings in abundance. This is what we're a chain of graces. A chain of saving graces. So look at these here. The many spiritual blessings that Christ gives to us by His grace and that can be increased in our lives for our enjoyment and happiness. There are at least eight. There are many more. But there are at least eight. Notice, first of all, spiritual peace. Right? Through Christ and by His grace, we have spiritual peace. We have peace with God. Paul says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice. We rejoice. Why? Because we have peace. By the grace of God and by Christ's sacrifice for ourselves on the cross, we have peace. We are no longer at enmity. God is our Father, our friend, our Savior. The gospel of Christ that brings salvation and grace brings also peace with God. Right? Redemption by the blood of Christ takes away the guilt of sin, takes away the wrath of God, right? And so makes way for peace, harmony, right? Peace flows from grace. God is no longer angry with us. There's no more enmity. We're reconciled to God through Christ and by His grace. And, you know, that's important because everybody wants peace today. Everybody in the world looks for peace, world peace, personal peace, peace with God, peace of conscience. Strangely, that they seek it in so many sinful and superficial ways. But through Christ and His grace, we have peace. Because Christ alone can reconcile us to God. Grace alone can bring us spiritual peace. Jesus Christ has said Himself, He's the Prince of Peace. To come to bring peace. In John 14:27, He says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." It's not a worldly form of peace. It's a peace that comes with grace. Jesus gives us peace because He brings grace, forgiveness, redemption. Right? In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Lord says, "I know the thoughts that I have toward you." What kind of thoughts? Thoughts of peace, that you might have an expected end. Right? You see, in the world we have tribulation, but our end is peace. Right? Because of Christ's saving work and the grace that He gives to us, we have peace. God is our Father. He is our Savior. And we know that our sins are forgiven. And so Christ has redeemed us from sin, from guilt, from wrath. We're reconciled to God. And this is the first blessing that flows from the grace of God. The first, as it were, of the chain of graces. We have peace now. Right? And this is increased as we grow. Our peace grows when we grow in grace. Right? Isaiah 29, verse 3, the prophet says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose heart is stayed on thee." As much as we are stayed on the Lord, dependent upon Him, as we grow in the knowledge of His Word, right? We grow in peace. When we grow in grace, we'll grow in peace. Because really, the root and the foundation and the source of all spiritual blessing is grace. And peace naturally flows from that as we grow. Thomas Watson said, "Those who receive the gospel of Christ experience by His grace the blessing of the peace of Christ." And so the more we are receiving into our hearts and lives the Word of God, the knowledge of Christ, and growing in grace, we'll grow in peace. Well, our hearts will be stayed on the Lord, even through tribulation and trial. But then notice, secondly, we also have communion with God. Right? Through Christ and His saving grace, we have communion and fellowship with God. Notice Paul says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We have access into the presence of God by His grace. We have communion and fellowship with God. Access into His presence by the Holy Spirit. Now that's a very notable blessing. Right? When we come to Christ, we're brought into the presence of God. We're forgiven. We have fellowship and communion with Him. Right? He hears our prayers. He hears our words, our voices, our songs of praise. He doesn't hear anybody. He hears us. And He says, "Well done." We have communion, right? Through Christ and by His grace. In Matthew 10, Jesus therefore said to the disciples when they went out preaching the gospel, He said, "He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me." And so Jesus is saying is that those who receive the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ and the Word of God, they receive the blessing of God's presence in their life. Communion. Right? Fellowship. Access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Right? We stand before God in fellowship with Him. Right? In 1 John chapter 1, John therefore says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Truly. Our fellowship is divine. right, as the hymn says, our fellowship is also eternal. It's sanctifying, but notice it is through His grace. Right, the middle wall of partition has been taken down by the cross of Christ, and grace flows from it to us, and therefore communion with God. In Ephesians 2:18, Paul says, through Christ, we have access by one Spirit to the Father because of His grace. We enjoy and experience communion with God. And so when we grow in grace, we grow in the knowledge of Christ, we experience this with even greater delight, right? We grow in our experiences with God in prayer, in communion, in fellowship, and we're made to delight in God even more. The more we grow in grace, the more we grow in our communion with God. Our communion with God is deepened. We understand His purposes and His why we are suffering. Why things go the way they do. God's presence, therefore, becomes a familiar place. As it were, a land, a country. Augustine said this, God is the country of the soul. Christ is the compass and grace is the directional. Right? God is the country of the soul. We live, we move, we have our being in God through the grace of Jesus Christ. And so our continued growth in grace and communion with God has great many blessings, right? Strengthens our faith. It sweetens our trials. It sanctifies our lives. In John 15, verses 9 and 10, Jesus said to the disciples, He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. So abide in my love. Abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Notice Jesus says here that the fruit of grace is abiding in God, abiding in His Word. And by that, we grow. What do we grow in? We grow in love to Him. We grow in obedience. We grow and are strengthened and are given more ability to keep His commandments, to delight in Him. Right? When we delight in Christ and in His Word, right, strengthens our communion, our fellowship. Just as the hymn says, in sweet communion, Lord, with Thee I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thine own to keep me near Thy side. Thy counsel through my earthly way shall guide me and control, and then to glory afterward Thou wilt receive my soul. You see, the grace of God brings us communion, and our communion with God grows and deepens as we grow in grace. But notice, thirdly, also, we have joy in the Spirit. Through Christ and His grace, we also rejoice in the Spirit. Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And now we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice. We praise God. We have spiritual joy, real lasting joy. You see, through grace, we have joy. There are all kinds of reasons to be glad in the world. But that's not spiritual joy. Right? We have a reason to joy and rejoice because we know Christ, because we're saved by grace. Our sins are forgiven, right? God does not hold our sin, our guilt, our debt to account. It's washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And His grace freely flows to us now in order that we might rejoice and live with joy, right? Knowing that you're saved by grace ought to bring you joy, right? That we have peace with God, that we have communion in His presence, that ought to bring us joy. More joy than anything in this world, right? Besides the happiness that we enjoy in knowing that our sins are forgiven, Paul says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, right? In the hope of God's glory, in the hope of eternal life, we rejoice. We have joy, right? You know, there are many things common in life, temporal or superficial, that give us a sense of enjoyment, a sense of pleasure, right? I enjoy sports. We enjoy a lot of things, right? Many people are going to really enjoy, right, next week's Super Bowl, right? There are a lot of things in life we can enjoy, but more importantly, we enjoy God. We rejoice in His gifts, His blessings. We rejoice in His salvation. We rejoice in His grace. Right? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, Peter says, though now you do not see Him, that is Christ, yet believing Him, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Right? Saving grace leads to unspeakable joy. Right? knowing that Christ has redeemed us by His precious blood, that His grace is sufficient to cleanse us, to wash us, to save us, to guide us and lead us to glory, that should bring us great joy. In Matthew 13, verse 44, Jesus tells the parable of the hidden treasure. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." You see, the riches of grace that Christ brings to us through the gospel is such a precious treasure, not to bring us great joy. Sometimes we forget about the joy of salvation, the rejoicing that Christ brings us, right? It becomes sometimes commonplace. We get into ruts. We go through periods of depression, right? Difficulty, frustration, even doubt. Not remember that the gospel brings joy, knowing our sins are forgiven. If we would meditate and consider more the depth of our sin and the immeasurable amount of God's grace, right, we should have more joy. It's not to say that we're not going to go through times of struggle, but if we think about the grace of God, the forgiveness of sin, and the more we grow in grace, the more we grow in the knowledge of Christ crucified and all that our sins are forgiven, right? But I think the greater and the deeper our spiritual joy will be. It will be sanctified, right? It will be more spiritual. We will enjoy God more than we enjoy the world. And we will enjoy God in the gifts and the blessings that He gives to us in the world. Right? In John 17, verse 13, Jesus says in His high priestly prayer to the Father, He says, "These things I spoke to them in the world, that they may have My joy fulfilled in themselves." Right? The joy of Christ to be fulfilled in our lives, to sanctify our lives. That's a blessing. Right? Richard Baxter wrote this. He says, "He that is full of joy must be full of Christ and of grace. For a life of true joy in the Spirit comes from a life of faith in the Lord Jesus, who has conquered sin and death. He has sounded the trumpet of jubilee in the hearts of His people." Do you hear the sound of the jubilee ringing? Your sins are forgiven. They're washed away in the blood of Christ. You're saved by grace. That should bring us great joy. The poem says, "What joy the Lord has brought to me, His great salvation full and free, eternal life in heaven to see. What joy and bliss I find in Thee." Joy. The joy of salvation, the joy of knowing Christ, that deepens, that grows as we grow in grace. Right? Well, notice fourthly, the fourth chain of grace and the blessings. Deliverance from sin, right? Through Christ and by His grace, we also enjoy deliverance and victory over sin. Christ has, by His grace, conquered sin and death for us. And by His grace, in us. Death, right, is no longer part, right? Christ reigns in righteousness through Jesus Christ, and we have eternal life, right? We have victory over sin and death through Christ. And so our rejoicing is the joy of victory over sin. In verse 21, at the end of the argument, at the end of the chapter, Paul therefore says, "Just as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Right? That's the sum of it all. Through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we have victory over sin. You see, when we're saved by grace through Christ, we're delivered from the bondage of sin and death. There is no more condemnation for us that are in Christ Jesus. Right? Grace reigns in victory. Christ's victory on the cross is our victory over sin and death. And so we have victory. We're the winners, right? We're triumphant, right? Everybody wants to be a winner. We're more than conquerors, Paul says, through Him who loved us. Because of His grace, we're the victors. We're the conquerors, right? Now, sometimes it kind of gets depressing when your team loses, or if you're playing and you lose. That is, but we should always remember as believers that because of the grace of God, because of the salvation that Christ has won for us at the cross and by His resurrection, we're the victors. We have deliverance from sin, death, hell, the devil. We are no longer in His clutches. We've been redeemed. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul therefore says, "Christ gave Himself for our sins that we might be delivered from this present evil age." The victory of grace is therefore seen in our victory over guilt, over the penalty of sin that Christ won for us. John therefore says in his epistle, he says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Right? Whoever is born of God by his grace overcomes the world. He says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have the victory over sin and death. Through Christ and his redeeming grace, we enjoy and we experience the greatest triumph and victory ever. You know, there have been some great victories won in the world that has brought happiness and joy to many people. Military victories, right? Think of the joy, the happiness that came upon the world at the end of World War I, World War II, right? The victories that are won, right? Even sports victories today, because sports is so popular in our culture, right? How much joy and happiness comes to the victors, right? The joy is all ours through Christ, because we have now, right, victory, deliverance over sin, over death, and over hell, right? Right. In sports, there is the thrill of victory and also the agony of defeat. With us, there is just the thrill of victory, right? There is suffering, there is trial, sometimes there's heartache and setback, but ultimately through Christ, right? There's only victory and deliverance. Nothing can compare in this world with the victory that is ours through Christ. And the more that we grow in grace, the greater enjoyment we will have of that victory that Christ has won for us at the cross. Greater victory, the greater deliverance, right? We will understand the greatness of his power, the riches of his grace that we have through Christ, redemption, right? We still have the remnants of indwelling sin in us. We still fall short of the glory of God. We lose the battle sometimes, right? In Galatians 5, Paul says the flesh lusts against the spirit. Paul says in Romans 7 that we're sometimes brought into bondage. We do those things that we do not want to do, and there's conflicting in us, grace warring against sin, right? We want to keep the law, but we disobey the law because of the remnants of indwelling sin. But as we grow in grace, what does Paul say? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We experience victory and deliverance. John Owen said this, it is by relying upon the grace of Christ and his victory at the cross that we are enabled to have victory ourselves over sin and temptation. How do we have victory in life? How do we have victory over sin? How are we delivered from sin and temptation? Not easy, right? By the grace of God working in us, bringing us to the cross, right? Bringing us in faith to the Word of God, because Jesus Christ is the power of God and the salvation, and he assures us of the victory that is ours. So, yeah, we will have setbacks, right? Right? Every champion at the end of the season had some losses, usually. We're going to have setbacks. But by his grace, we will be crowned victors. Grace reigns in righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why I love that part of the hymn that says, my Savior and my Lord, my conqueror and my King, thy scepter and thy sword, thy reigning grace I sing. Right? We sing of Christ's victorious grace. We experience deliverance through Christ. Well, notice fifthly also, we experience the assurance of God's love. Another blessing of his grace, because of Christ and his grace, we experience God's love and favor toward us. Notice in verse 5, Paul says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see, being redeemed by grace, justified by faith, we now have the assurance of God's favor, his love toward us through Christ. We know the love of God. Paul says it is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Right, that is the very nature and essence, right, of assurance. Now, when we come to faith in Christ, our assurance is not always, right, it's not of the essence of faith. It ebbs and flows. There are many believers that are not assured of their salvation or of God's favor, right? But through Christ, notice Paul says that we can be assured because of his grace that we are no longer children of wrath. Well, we're children of God. We know that our sins are forgiven, that we have eternal life. In Ephesians 3:12, Paul says that because of the grace of God, we have boldness and access with confidence through the faith in him. Why? Because of grace. Grace is the foundation of our assurance, the spring of all of our hopes. Right? In 1 John 4:16, John says, whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. For God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Right? And so right when we come to faith in Christ, hey, we have the seed of assurance that God is favorable toward us, that our sins are forgiven, that we are his children, and that we are blessed. Right? But full assurance and confidence, well, that may take years to develop, cultivate, because sin remains in us and therefore doubts. Right? But as soon as we grow in grace, the more that we grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, the more we have communion with God, right? Our assurance builds, strengthens, right? We have a better and a greater sense of God's love for us, a confident assurance that our sins are forgiven, right? Thomas Watson once eloquently said, every flower that is watered in the morning is made to bloom in the sunlight. Right? That's a nice thought. Every flower that is watered in the morning blooms in the sunlight, right? The grace of God leads to what? The shining light of assurance. Assurance, therefore, is founded, built up, and cultivated by the grace of God in Christ. So as grace increases, as we are watered by the Word of God, the means of grace, our assurance of God's favor, therefore, grows. And can only grow as much as and as strong as our faith in Christ grows. But it grows. And that's the importance of the means of grace. Because it waters us. It strengthens us. It gives us a greater confident assurance of God's love and favor. Hey, God loves His people. All of His people. All those that are saved by grace, He loves. But that assurance and that sense of God's favor and love is not always with us, right? Especially new believers and that are entangled with sin in the world, that though God has saved them, they're not sure sometimes. But that's what the importance of growing. In 1 John 5:13, John says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You see, the Bible was written. John writes these things in order that believers might have greater assurance of God's saving grace. Right? A greater confidence. And a greater confidence in the doctrines of grace. A greater commitment to the means of grace builds what? Assurance in grace. God's favor. God's love, God's kindness, and we will have the blessing. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, the bride says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand always embraces me. What is that? That's just a romantic, poetic picture of a believer's, of the church's assurance and confidence of Christ's love. The bridegroom of the church is love. Right? He'll never let us go. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. His left hand is under my head. His right hand embraces me. He's brought me in his banqueting house, his palace, the sanctuary. We are now forever his. By his grace, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Paul says. Right? Thomas Brooks, therefore, said this, the more the soul is conformed to Christ by grace, the more the soul is conformed to Christ, the more confident and assured it will be of its interest in Christ. Right? The more confident, the more assured. Like in marriage. Marriages grow and are sanctified and trust is built over time. Right? And just as the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That bond is written in the blood of Christ. God's love for believers. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we trust his love. We are confident and assured through Christ, right? That's a grace that a blessing that is built up and strengthened as we grow. Well, notice then sixthly, it's the sixth chain of grace in this, patience in trials. Notice through Christ and his grace, we're also given patience in trials and afflictions. Paul says we rejoice in the hope of glory, but not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Notice that Paul says here that the grace of God in Christ sanctifies our trials, right? It gives us perseverance or patience to endure them in hope. The Greek word for patience here is hupomone and can be translated either patience or perseverance. The word literally means to abide under, right? To abide under trial or affliction. That's what Paul is saying. Grace gives us the strength to abide under trials, to be patient, to persevere under them in faith. And notice closely here that Paul doesn't say that grace ends our trials. Not at all. Grace does not end our trials, right? It gives us patience and experience, character and hope through our trials. Right? Grace sanctifies our trials. It doesn't end them. In fact, in many ways, receiving the grace of God and the gospel only begins and increases our trials. Did you hear that? It increases our trials. Right? It's wrong to say, oh, everything's going to be happy and nice once you receive Christ. No, you take up the cross. In receiving the grace of God, you receive all kinds of blessings. All these spiritual blessings. But you are also given, as Paul says in Philippians 1, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in His name, but what? But to suffer for Him. That's grace. That is true grace, right? God gives us grace in trials. God gives us the grace of trials. And He gives us grace to endure those with patience and perseverance. So Paul says tribulation works patience. How? How does tribulation work patience? Certainly not in by itself. Not at all. Tribulation, right, brings pain, brings suffering. And in some people, it brings and works bitterness. But it works patience and perseverance in us by the grace of God working by them. Right? God, grace sanctifies our trials and makes us grow in and through our tribulations. Right? That's why James says in chapter 1, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It works grace. By the grace of God, we have and are given the patience to endure trials, sufferings, and afflictions for the sake of Christ. And through trials, we grow in grace. Through trials, we're sanctified. We increase in knowledge. We increase in spiritual strength, right? Just as children grow, right? We grow through trials. Matthew Henry said this, tribulation works patience, not in and of itself, but by the powerful grace of God, working in and with that tribulation, for it proves, and by proving improves patience, as parts and gifts increase by exercise, right? In order to be strong physically, you got to train. In order to build up muscle, you got to work out. In order to be a great athlete, you need to train, you need to work, you need to be disciplined, right? What does it do? Break down. The first, in the strengthening of the muscle, you got to break down muscle. You got to break down proteins, amino acids, but it's the breaking down. In life, we are broken. We are broken by trials. We're broken by afflictions. In order what? The Lord says, in order to break us and humble us, that we might be built up. In order that we might be humbled before the Lord and then built up in the Lord. And so if we're going through trials, it is designed to work patience in us, to build us up. Right? Trials are a part of the working of God's grace. That's a mystery. That's the mystery of promise. That is really the answer and the mystery of evil in the world. The suffering that we endure is for Christ's sake, that we are built up through them. Right? We're given by Christ and His grace, right, afflictions, sufferings. And the Christian life, therefore, is no bed of roses. We endure all kinds of sufferings, pain, afflictions, trials, tribulations. Paul says in Acts that it's through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom. Just as God gives us great grace, right? He gives us much tribulation. But Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The grace of God has overcome the world. And through grace we overcome trials. And the more that we grow in grace, the more we learn to endure trials. And, you know, we are made by Christ to learn in very practical ways by suffering, right? Not only of His sovereignty, but of His grace. Being dependent upon His grace, we're stripped sometimes and laid bare before Him in order that we might be humbled, broken, and then built up, right? But to remember that God makes all things beautiful in His time. We know that all things work together for good. But sometimes we are tested. In that passage, you know, we come to know more as we go through afflictions. That's why Paul says we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces patience, and patience character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Augustine said this. He said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ does not take away our pain and suffering in this world, but refines us in them." Right? We will have affliction. We will have trial. We will have suffering. We will go through great heartache, pain. But we are to be refined by them. Notice seventhly, therefore, perseverance in faith. By the grace of God, we're also given the perseverance in faith. Perseverance. Notice Paul says, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works perseverance. Right? Perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see, in Christ and by His grace, we are promised, right, that He will preserve us to the end. We will persevere to the very end, right? Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ," right? Because of grace, right? That's one of the 5 points, right? Perseverance to the very end by grace. God gives us the grace to persevere. He watches over us. He preserves us to the very end because, hey, those who are saved by grace are watched by the Lord. They have the promise of being upheld and kept in His grace to the very end. You see, those whom are saved, God loves and will never leave them nor forsake them. Jesus says, "I know my sheep and I love them, and nobody can take them away from me." Why? Because of the powerful grace of God working in us. That's why in 2 Timothy 4:18, Paul says, "The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom." He will preserve me. We have the promise by God's grace of being preserved, right, in Christ. This is a promise to those in Christ. We're sealed by grace into the day of redemption. Jesus says, "I'm with you always, even to the very end." Because grace always leads to glory, right? And so the more that we grow in grace, the more we grow in the confident expectation of glory and of persevering in faith to the end. We understand and become more sensible to what it means to persevere. Because of the trials that we've endured, we're given greater grace, greater strength. John Calvin said, "All our progress and perseverance is of God's grace. He will make all of His work sure to the very end." Right? He doesn't leave off. Sometimes we leave off work, right? We rake up half of the front yard and then we leave it for another time. We start a project and then we finish it later, right? Now, this is not just with men, you know, men and women. We tend to start something and we leave it off and we leave it, right? God completes, finishes, and brings to an end all of His works, and especially the work of grace in His people, right? Now, there are certainly times in life when, especially when we're under affliction, persecution, trials, that we lose hope and become uncertain. We're going to make it through this, right? But Christ has purchased not only our salvation, but our perseverance. It's by His grace that we are persevering, and so He promises, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you to the very end." And though our faith is weak, His grace is strong. Right? Arthur Dent once said, "By perseverance, the snail reached the ark." Right? In the flood of Noah, the snail reached the ark. If the snail reached the ark, the weakest saint will persevere in faith to the very end. Why? Because it's a grace. The blessing of God's grace given to those who believe in Christ. And then finally, the hope of eternal life. Finally, through the grace of God in Christ, we are given the promise, the blessing of eternal life. Those who are saved by grace live by hope. And notice the clear sense of this entire passage is hope. Right? Notice Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see, through Christ and His grace, we have good hope. We have good hope through the grace of Christ. Right? Now that's important because we rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. And the hope of God does not disappoint us. Right? Hope doesn't disappoint us because we know that we're not saved by our works. We're saved by Christ. We're saved by Christ and what He has accomplished for us at the cross. We believe in His work, not ours. And our hope is ultimately steadfast and sure because it is founded upon the grace of God. A monument that can never be shaken. Right? The saving grace of God. Christ has redeemed us from sin and death, and because of His grace, we have good hope. The hope and promise of eternal life. And so when all is done is finished, Christ returns in glory and power and victory and receive us to Himself, we will enter glory. But now we have hope. We live by hope. And this is our hope, the promise of eternal life and being glorified together in heaven. Every day, therefore, we live by hope in the expectation of God sending revival, blessing us, establishing His kingdom, prospering our families. We live by hope. Right? There is no hope apart from grace, though. Think of it. The foundation of all our hopes rests in Christ and the grace of God. That's why we pray. That's why we are to be dependent on God in prayer, because we live by hope. We're not only saved by hope, but we live by hope, just as we're saved by grace and we live by grace. In Psalm 71, David says, Thou art my only hope, O Lord. I rest in Thee. We rest in Thee, in the Lord. He's our hope. In Galatians 5, verse 5, Paul, speaking of the grace of God, rebuking the Galatians because they were turned away from true religion to think that they're going to be saved by works. He says, You who attempt to be justified by the works of the law, you've fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Right? Hey, the grace of God leads to hope. A confident hope. Our hope is built upon the foundation of Christ's saving work and the grace of God. Right? Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, therefore, is the hope of glory. Christ is our hope. Christ in us, working in us to the end, is the hope of glory. And so all of our hopes are founded on grace. Now, the more we grow in grace, right, the more, therefore, we grow in hope. We build our lives on hope. Our families, right? Our joys and our happiness on the hopes of glory. In Titus chapter 2, Paul therefore says that because the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared, we now are looking for that blessed hope, the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowing that we're saved by grace, we now live by hope. And so the future belongs to us because we belong to Christ, right? And it is as bright as the promises of God. And therefore, we are to depend upon His promises, His word, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, because our end and destiny is glory. Now, we certainly expect and desire and pray for and hope for, right, revival, reformation, the establishment of God's kingdom, God's blessing upon His churches, upon our families. We want prosperity. We want good things. We want manifold blessings. But that's why we are set to hope. We hope. And the more we grow in grace, the more we grow in hope. And our hopes will not be in this world because they're fleeting. They are fading. They vanish away. Our hopes will be in the next. Our interests, our thoughts, our aspirations will be set upon the glory of Christ and His kingdom, because that's our future and hope. That puts us in heaven, right? In Psalm 16, David says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Beloved in Christ, we have good hope through grace. He's delivered us from the wrath to come and has promised us eternal life in His presence. That's our hope. All our hopes are in Christ. All our hopes in this world and blessings in this world come from hoping in Christ. As the hymn says this, Christ is my hope. He died for me. For me He shed His blood. And as my wondrous sacrifice offered Himself to God, Christ Jesus is my all in all, my comfort and my love, my life below, and He shall be my joy and crown above. Our hope rests in Christ. And so we have, by the grace of God, the hope and promise of eternal life. And that gets us through life. That strengthens us. Through Christ, God will give us grace and glory. And so, beloved, there are real spiritual blessings that we enjoy in Christ by His grace. These are all the fruits of saving faith and of the Holy Spirit that gives to us all believers who are redeemed by grace. Saved by grace. These are as a chain of graces. A chain of graces and blessings. We have peace with God. Communion and access into His presence, joy in the Spirit, deliverance from sin, the assurance of God's love and favor, patience in trials, perseverance in faith unto the end, and also, of course, the hope and promise of eternal life. These are blessings of God's grace that are given to all those who believe in Christ. But they are cultivated, developed, and enjoyed in greater happiness as we grow in grace. Right? As we're established and built up in Christ. Because Jesus lived and died and rose again that we might be blessed. Not just that the things of this life, temporal, material blessings that we enjoy. And we enjoy a lot of things, right? But most especially, we enjoy God's grace. God's grace to us in Christ. Because that sanctifies everything. So that we might be enriched by His grace and to live for His glory and kingdom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you, we thank you and praise you for all of your redeeming grace to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you through Christ, through His precious blood, His saving work on the cross, and because of His grace, we have peace. We have communion and access into your presence. You hear our prayers, our praises, our songs of adoration. We joy in the Spirit knowing that our sins are forgiven. Because we have deliverance and victory through Christ. We have the assurance of your love and favor. The promise of going through trials, being built up. And although sometimes broken, we are sanctified by them. And we know that we'll persevere in the end by your grace and arrive to glory. All these chains, this chain of grace is given to us through Christ by His grace. We pray that you would sanctify our hearts, that we might enjoy you and enjoy your grace more by them for the glory and praise of your name and the establishment of your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen.